Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Welcome those who are listening by Facebook with us today, and those who will hear the messages on HLE Radio around the world, getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. From Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. The scripture says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did there much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto righteousness, into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Beautiful words of life here. And Galatians chapter 2 and verses 21, one verse of scripture. "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Aren't you glad this morning that we don't live under the law? And we're talking about the law of Moses and the spiritual law, because God has set us free from that law. We are at liberty now to praise the Lord, to honor Him, and to worship Him. The scripture reminds us also that we are to be very careful in this liberty that we have to worship. And it says, don't let this liberty become an occasion to your flesh. In other words, keep it spiritual. Keep it faith in God. Keep it what the scripture tells us to do and keep it that way. Paul, the writer of Romans and Galatians, he deals with the subject of grace in really two different views and wants us to understand what God's word has given to us. One, in respect to the law, and the other in respect to freedom, the liberty that we have in Christ that we just spoke of. In both views, Paul emphasizes the working of grace. It works to accomplish the will of God. For the true believer, grace is a very important instrument in our lives to move us to places where God's will can be fulfilled in our lives. It shows that grace once reigned in our lives and once gives us the ability to come to the throne of God. I've repeated it many times, grace does not save anyone by itself. But grace leads us to the one who does save us, the Lord Jesus Christ. So to us, to live daily in the abundant life that God has for us when we're faithful to Him. Grace is not to be sought after for understanding in our natural mind. For if we understood everything that God's grace did, we would understand more about God. But He gives us what we're supposed to understand and know. And He limits our focus to the future by giving us prophetic voice that He wants us to have. One day we will know it all. We'll understand it better by and by. Today there are things we don't understand. The passing of our brother, we don't understand that. Because we look at things through a natural eye, and that's good. That's what we do. We have to see what's going on. We have to grieve. We have to mourn. We have to laugh. We have to rejoice. We have to know the fullness of God's love in our lives. But we also have to understand that there's a realm that God operates in called a spiritual realm. And that's where God's grace deals with our hearts and our lives. And in that realm, we don't have the understanding. Because the Bible tells us he'll give us peace, his peace, that goes beyond the understanding of man. That's what gets us through times like this. The peace of God that passes, that no man can understand, but it is passed on to us through God's grace. And so as we look at the abundant grace of God this morning, I want us to understand that in our faithfulness, we find the abounding grace of God. Where sin doth abound, grace does there much more abound. So when we see all the wrong and all the sin and all the things going wrong in the world today, we must understand this point, that as true believers in Christ, the grace of God abounds for us. The grace of God gives us peace and joy and strength. The grace of God enables us to fulfill our position in Christ, to fulfill the plan of God for each life. So the devil would have us believe that it's all to nothing. It's all to no good. It's all to no end. But that's the devil's work. I remember talking to a young man one time who was just coming into the ministry, and he had gone to a seminar somewhere, and he was telling me that he was doing a study on the devil. I said, well, what did you learn? But whatever you've learned, I already know. And it's not that I'm so knowledgeable or so wise, but God's word tells me all I need to know. I said, I don't want to know about the devil. I know what he does. The Bible tells us very plainly he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all I need to know about that rascal. But I know one thing. We have victory over him. And the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The power of God that works in us works through Christ. Now, you can't separate Christ. You can't separate God and his grace. The Bible says God is love. Could just as well have said, God is grace. Because it's a part of the makeup of God that we as humans may not understand, but as believers in the Word of God, we accept it. Because your faith that operates when it's grounded and rooted in the cross of Calvary, it's a faith that doesn't have to see it to believe it. You remember what Jesus told Thomas? Oh, you know the story of old doubting Thomas. He didn't believe it until Jesus appeared after his resurrection. He came back to earth and appeared to the disciples. And he told Thomas, he said, now look at my hands and my side. Put your hands in mine. And then he did that. Thomas said, I believe. And Jesus told him, he said, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Ah, that's us. I don't need to see anything to prove God in my life. I don't, you know, the world today, a lot of the church world, they're seeking after signs and wonders and miracles, and they don't even know the miracle worker. Ah, but he works in our lives to perform his abounding grace. So in our faithfulness, we find that abounding grace of God. But remember, it's not in our perfection. Oh, you're going to go down the wrong road if you think you have to be perfect to know the grace of God. It's not in our works. It's not in what we do. Our works are to glorify God. Our perfection is in Christ Jesus. I know we can look around this room and we can look at people that we've known a long time and we can say, I know you're not perfect, because I don't want you to do that. I'm just saying you can. Because I know something about your past. Huh? There's still some old friends of mine from the days when we ran crazy. They're still waiting for me to fall. But a lot of them's already gone, so it's too late for them. Yeah, the world's not going to believe you. They're not going to see the perfection in you. They're going to see the side of you that they've seen with their eyes, not knowing that there's a perfection in Christ that we attain when we get saved, and that perfection lies in Him, not in us, not in our works. You see, God established the law of Moses for the purpose of identifying sin. Sin was active and it was very real before the law was given. It was not considered as offensive to God as it is today. Those who were partakers of sin before Jesus Christ, or really before the law was given, the Bible says God winked at sin. In other words, there was a lot more that God allowed, even though it wasn't right. If you were a sinner, you died and went to hell. But God allowed a lot more things because there was no law or no restriction on man. God intended for mankind to worship Him and to honor Him and to follow Him according to their conscience, which they didn't do. And so the flood came along, and men didn't change very much after that. They went back into sin, did what they did. So God gave us, or gave them, this law. And the law was not to save them. The law was to present to them their own sins. And if you read the Ten Commandments, that's what it does. It presents to us our sins. If we don't keep them, if we don't do that, if we don't follow the law, the moral laws of God, then we're going to go astray and be in error. Nevertheless, when sinners died in the Old Testament, they went to hell. The law of Moses was not given until about 2,400 years after Adam and Eve. Then sin was exposed. Grace went to work in certain ways and in certain places on certain people in a different way than it does now. When the Lord went to destroy the earth, destroy the world that He had created, the Bible says He found grace in Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? He was a believer. And so that grace was extended to him. And all through the Old Testament, you'll find grace at work in certain individuals' lives, in certain situations. But today, when Jesus Christ came, He brought with Him what I like to call the umbrella of grace. The whole world now, sinner or saint, lives under the grace of God. And we know that because God said it Himself. He said, I so loved the world that I gave... loved who? The world. Grace in one measure is meant just for the believer. But in another measure is meant for the world. That means that God gives everyone the opportunity to come to the cross. Grace opens the door for the Holy Spirit to bring correction and bring us into a place where we are convicted of our sins and we want to be saved. Many do not get there because they want their own will and their own way. But the law of Moses came about to identify the sin of mankind. Mankind only became saved through the sacrifice which was a type of Jesus Christ to come and sacrifice himself on an old rugged cross. Everything after the law of Moses typifies that which Christ has done or was going to do at that time and is doing now for us. When the law exposed and identified sin, then the offense of sin abounded. That's why the scripture tells us that where sin does abound, grace does there much more abound. I believe we could safely say that the world is filled with sin, that sin is abounding in the world. You don't have to watch much television. You don't have to listen to too much news to find that this world is evil. That sin abounds in the world. So God's grace abounds greater in us. It abounds greater. It's greater, more powerful than the sin that's in the world. And God offers it to every individual. Whosoever will, let him come. So it's offered to every individual. And Jesus himself said, I didn't come to save the sick. I came to save those that are lost. Everybody wants a miracle of sickness healed in their body, and that's true, and God does that. But his purpose for coming was not to save those who are already saved. But he said, I've come to save the lost. I've come to heal the lost. And he's talking about a spiritual healing, bringing them out of sin into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the reason that the offense of sin is multiplied today, I believe, is because the law encounters the flesh. It invokes a natural reaction of man, a natural reaction of disobedience. Now, children are innocent. The Bible lets us know that until the time that they become accountable for their actions. But in their innocence, you can find much disobedience in children. After they are of the age of accountability, then that disobedience doubles. Why? Because the natural reaction to the law that we are under, the law of grace, the natural reaction to that is to rebel, to be disobedient. We find the first sin in the Bible of Adam and Eve was disobedience. They disobeyed God's word. That spirit of disobedience is in the world today. Rebelling about everything in the natural law and the spiritual law. Rebellion. I'm not going to do that. I know God says for me to, but I'm not going to do it. Just like the little child that you put the cookie in the cookie jar and say, don't you eat any of these cookies. They're not for you. They're not to be eaten right now. Later. You go in the other room and just watch what happens. There's a natural rebellion in mankind. And they respond to that simply because you told them not to. If you had put the cookie jar there and walked away, they probably wouldn't have paid any attention to it. But you told them not to do it. So the natural reaction in grown people is the same, only that rebellion and that reaction against God is disobedience against his word. I know God's word tells me to do this, but I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like being obedient to God today, maybe tomorrow. So this encounter of law and flesh causes the rebellion and causes the offense against God to grow rapidly, as we see now in this world. With all of the technology we have, very little of it is used for the benefit of God's glory. Most of it is used for the benefit of Satan. All you have to do is watch it a little while. You see, maybe so many today still have that same reaction to the moral law of God. All you have to do to keep the Ten Commandments is to follow 11 and 12. Oh my. 10 is too many. Can't handle 10. But listen what he says about the two in the New Testament. When they approach Jesus and ask him, what or which one of the commandments is the greatest commandment? Well, you know, they were trying to trick him. The Pharisees and Sadducees always tried to trick Jesus with an answer that would cause him to be less than he was. So they ask him, which one of the Ten Commandments is the best commandment? And Jesus, recognizing their intent, gave them two new commandments. He said the first commandment, the first one that is really, really good, the best of all of them, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being. Everything you have, love God first. Because if you do anything for God without loving him first, you're a hypocrite. Boy, it's quiet now. I know there's no hypocrites here, and you're trying to digest that. But don't look around. Huh? If you don't love God first, and I know there's some people that probably will never come to church with us because of what I said. And it's not because they don't like me. It's because they don't like God's word. Huh? Love the Lord God first. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I hope none of you leave and don't come back. But if you come to church, you must come to church before you love God. Because you love him, that's why you come to church. If you come to church for any other reason than the fact that you love God, you might as well go fishing. Yeah. I didn't say that. Now, Jesus said it. You can read it for yourself. When he said, first, love the Lord thy God with all that you have. Now, some people find that easy to do. Others find it very difficult to do. But then he gave them a second commandment that everybody finds difficult to do. Don't look at me like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that's a difficult task, even with grace, huh? But you can do it if you have Christ living in you. If you learn how not to respond by the flesh. If you learn how to do what God says, come, let us reason together, instead of getting mad and wanting to punch somebody. I know none of you have ever done that, but I know of people that have. Huh? Love one another. How can we love one another without God's grace? Abounding grace in the heart and the life of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is what keeps us worshiping him. Because his grace is sufficient for us when we falter, when we make mistakes, when we fall. And we have to repent And if you falter and fall and you don't repent, you're in trouble. But as a Christian believer, every Christian who makes a mistake is convicted by the Holy Spirit and seeks to repent. And when you seek to repent, God's grace says, come on back. Come on in. He's waiting for you. I got in trouble several times because I have a different concept of backsliding. In the old Pentecostal churches, of which some of us were a member of years ago, it was so easy to backslide because everything you did contrary to what the church told you to do, you were backslidden. Yeah. If you cut your hair, ladies, backslidden. If you wore men's apparel to church, backslidden. If you wore rings and ornaments, backslidden. Backslidden. Now let me tell you what backsliding really is. When the children of Israel, when the Bible says the children of Israel backslid, they stopped worshiping God. They cut God off. They built golden idols, calves and golden idols, and they worshiped the golden idols. That's being backslid. When a person makes a mistake in their life today, that doesn't mean they're backslidden. That means they've stepped out of fellowship with God. And if you continue out of fellowship with Him and you die, you will go to hell because no sin will enter heaven. But the amazing grace of God tells us and lets us move in the direction of repentance through the convicting power of God. So when we fall and we make mistakes, we have the opportunity to come back to repent because of the grace of God. So my concept has always been of backsliding is when a person turns their back on God and says, I don't believe God, I don't believe His word, and walk away from it. Amen. And the conviction is gone. And the desire to praise God, to worship God, to honor God is gone. That's a backslidden condition. And to those people, He says, I will turn them over to a reprobate mind. Let them believe a lie and be damned. So to those of you who have stumbled and fallen in the past, you're here today because of the grace of God. To all of us who the Bible says has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're here because of the abounding grace of God. Don't be looking around at somebody else. We have to search our own souls. You see, progressive religion has reestablished law into their own ordinances. But their laws cater to the flesh. Notice how religion caters to the flesh, caters to the works of the flesh. Their laws cater to that flesh. And so there is no encounter that takes place. And when there's no encounter that takes place, there's no working of the Holy Spirit. There's no working of grace. Religion has moved so far away from the cross, they've stepped out of the grace of God.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend, drive my